Well, as I said, I'm grateful that Ed was able to bring the message last week. We got to watch it a little bit online as we watched a worship service from California, I believe, early in the morning, and then we watched ours live, and that was fun to be able to watch and watch what was going on. So thank you for all that kind of stepped up to the plate and had to run the sound and the computer and the video and all that. Thank you for all of that. Today we're going to continue to look at the book of Acts. We only have a few weeks left of this. So if you have your Bibles with you, I know we don't have Bibles in the pews, but maybe you brought yours with you, or maybe you're like me and have it on your phone and your tablet. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 19. Verses 8 through 20. Today we're going to talk about how God's power can change your life. One of the questions I wanted to ask is, how do you energize yourself? How do you get power into you so that you can face the world or face the situations you're going into? Some of us have a hearty breakfast, right? Some of us exercise or try to get enough sleep. Some of us take vitamins. Some of us do different things in order to keep power, to build us up so that we don't. Some of us drink a lot of coffee like me, you know, or chocolate chip cookies. Those things are always good to get you going in the morning. By the way, Christy, you might want to remove those chocolate bars back there because they are calling out my name. But we do a lot of different things to try to get power so that we, you know, we work out maybe. Really what we're looking for is power of God, right? We want to have the power of God in us, because if we just rely on our own power, we're going to get burned out and we're not going to be successful, because it's all about us. It's not about God. And so today we're going to talk about how we can have the power of God in our lives. But in order for that to happen, we have to kind of step back. You know, we have to let go of some things in our lives. We're going to be talking today about three things that prevent us from experiencing the power of God. And I got to thinking about this. We think about God and His power. We think about the fact that in a wave of a hand, He was able to create the beauty that is around us. He's able to create the stars and the skies, the planets. He was able to create us. While we were in Sun River this past week, my in-laws took us to a place that's it's a lava field, and it's very unique because when the lava came down, it came down in a very specific section, believe it or not, where the trees were destroyed, but the holes the trees were in remained. And they have this about a mile-long path that they've created around this area where you can see little holes along the way where trees used to be. The trees are no longer there, but the hole is still there. And it was just an amazing thing when we reached a certain point and you see the lava fields going out, you see the hills and the mountains around you, you can even see the volcano that caused all of that to happen. And I thought, the wonderful creation of God, the beauty that is around us, He did all that. That's the power of God. Sometimes we ask the question, well, if God can create all of that stuff, why can't He make our lives easier, right? Why can't He be so, if He's that powerful, then He can take away some of the stuff that we have to deal with in life. I've met a lot of people that feel the same way, that they wish that God's power would come into their lives to the point where they didn't have to deal with anything serious and negative, but it happens. God wants us to have a purpose-filled life of vigor and excitement. But in order for that to happen, we have to be willing to let go of the things that are keeping us from that. And so today we're going to talk about some of those things. Let's talk about a couple of reasons why we don't truly receive the power of God in our lives. It could be that our circumstances are not what need to be changing in our lives. It's probably us that need to change. Imagine how things in your life would be if you experienced the kind of power that God has for you in your life today, the power of a new outlook, the power of a new mind, the power of a new heart. That's the kind of power that God can give you if you are willing to accept it. And that is what God wants for each of us. But there are forces at work against us, forces that keep us from tapping into that power. And until we allow God to fundamentally change us, we will never experience that kind of power. The circumstances that we keep praying for God to change will rarely get better. I think sometimes we just want to rely on our own power. We want to rely on what we've accomplished in our lives. And we don't want to rely on God's power solely. Rick Warren once said, "If you could change your own power, you would have already done so, but you cannot." That is why you need a power source greater than yourself. We all need it. You know, there's a lot of things at stake here that we need to think about. So what are these three things that keep us from or prevent us from living in God's power? Number one, fleshly resistance. Have you ever had a time in your life that you just found it hard getting out of your comfort zone? You know, you've kind of set in. This is one of the problems in the church today. And it's one of the problems in our lives personally. We just want to stay in our comfort zone. Churches are like this. We stay in our comfort zone. We keep doing what we've always done, when we've always done it, how we've always done it, where we've always done it. It's hard for us to step away from it because it's so ingrained in us. It's our safe zone. We feel comfortable there. We feel like this is where we're going to be okay. We're afraid to step out of that comfort zone. We're afraid to change because if we change, then people are going to get upset. People are going to get angry. People are going to stop coming. We just keep doing what we always do. The problem is we keep thinking things are going to be different. And they're not, because we are not changing. But imagine for a moment if you never resisted change in your life. Imagine if you were willing to step out of your comfort zone, that you were open to anything that God wanted you to do. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how your life would be so exciting if you opened the doors for God fully? Verse 8 tells us that Paul taught in the synagogue for only 3 months. We ask the question, why only 3 months? Could he have preached longer? Maybe. But we read verse 9 where it says, "But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way, so Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus." So during the 3 months that he taught in the synagogue, Paul was starting to sense that there was amongst them an angry crowd of people who were starting to be obstinate toward Paul. What does obstinate mean? It's not a word I use. It's a kind of a strange word, but really what it means is they were being stubborn. They did not want to step out of their comfort zone. They didn't want anyone to come in and tell them that what they were doing was wrong, or that they could do better, or they could try something a different way. They just were plain stubborn. Now, there is a definite resistance to God moving in the world today. I think we all can agree to that, right? But there is no mention of Satan here. There's no mention of temptation or spiritual forces at all. It is the people that are doing this. They are just plain stubborn. They do not want to change. They are dug in. The truth was, the small group of people didn't want God to do something new in their lives or in the midst of their fellowship. So they themselves got in the way. Not Satan, not evil spirits or demons. It was them. And there's a powerful truth here that we all need to understand. When it comes to our own lives, most of the time, the only thing standing between us and experiencing God is us. Okay? We are the ones that get in the way. This was the first force that challenged Paul, and it is almost always the first choice or force, rather, that keeps us from experiencing the powers of God in our lives today. It's the force of fleshly resistance. There are other things that can hinder us with God in our walk with God, but we have to get over ourselves first. Let me say it again. If you want God to change your life, if you want to experience Him in a fresh way, if you want to tap into the power of God, you must get over yourself. Take out the fleshly resistance at its source. And you can do this by making your heart receptive to what God wants to do in your life. So God overcomes fleshly resistance through receptive hearts. Listen to verse 11 and 12. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illness was cured, and the evil spirits left them. And once Paul went to Tyrannus and started teaching to people who had receptive hearts, God started doing extraordinary things. You see what's happening there? When people are receptive to God's power completely and fully, God does extraordinary things. He can take a church of 10 people and create a church of 100, because that those 10 people had receptive hearts to what God wanted them to do. But if you hold fast to your own wants and your own beliefs and your own way of wanting to do things, if you're afraid to step out of your comfort zone and do some things differently, you're not going to see the extraordinary things of God, because you're keeping Him away from it. You're not willing to do what He's really asking you to do. I truly believe that the great thing about this pandemic is that it has forced us to do things differently. It has forced us to change the way we do worship, the way we do Bible studies, the way we do prayer. It has forced us to be more sensitive and more compassionate. It has forced us to recognize what we're missing, which is true fellowship with one another. Hugging one another, shaking hands, high-fiving. We miss those things. And God has given us this opportunity, you know, that says the absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? It's making us take a step back and go, you know, I really miss those moments when we as a church can step out of our comfort zone and be the church. And when we can do that, extraordinary things happen. Number two, demonic involvement. This is one that we are aware of. And I'm just wondering, have you ever come to a place in your life when you stop asking God to give you a safe life, you know, a comfort zone kind of life, and in turn make you a dangerous follower of Jesus Christ? That's a positive thing, to be a dangerous follower of Jesus Christ. Is what that means is you are someone with real faith, faith that can overcome the forces around us, the forces of evil, those things that work against us from experiencing the powers of God. You are dangerous, because God can use you in powerful ways, and Satan cannot. Verses 13 and 14, there's an interesting side bit here. Says some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven Sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, was doing this. Now notice what comes into play here. We're going back to the forces of fleshly resistance again. These seven sons of Sceva, they were not from God. They were like a lot of people. They just wanted the power. They wanted a piece of the action. They wanted to be popular, successful in their own way. They even imitated Paul's methods to try to pump themselves up, to put themselves on a pedestal for everyone to see. They cared only about their own popularity and the money that they might make off of working these miracles. That's all they were concerned about. They didn't care about the real move of God in their lives, and they didn't care about how God was moving in the lives of the people around them. They allowed themselves to get in the way. They ran up against the second force that keeps us from experiencing God's power, and for them, it was a doozy. It was the force of demonic involvement. Now, I don't want to scare you this morning, but we need to be aware of something. There is more to our spiritual lives than just what we can see. And there are spiritual forces at work to keep us in spiritual chains, in spiritual darkness. Those are the real enemy. And Satan and all his minions, let me give you a secret here, they don't like you. They don't like people. They don't like humanity. Why? Because we were made in the image of God. And when you experience God's power in your life, you become a reflection of his glory. And Satan cannot stand that. Because God overcomes any demonic involvement that hell can throw at us, we have a Savior, we have a God and Father who loves us to the point that he's able to keep us away from it. But I think what happens in our lives is that we all carry this armor. And each of us have a kink in the armor. Each of us have a hole in the armor that allows demons to come into our lives, even for brief moments. And those demons are things like personalities that turn people off, anger issues, racism, you know, knocking people down when you shouldn't, you should be building them up. Discouraging people when you should be encouraging them. It's physical violence, mental violence, emotional violence. Those are the demons that we all have, and sometimes we don't even realize we have it. We don't even realize we're doing it. But what happens is when we experience the power of God, he encircles us with his love so that even those cracks get filled up. And we don't experience those things and affect our relationship with the people around us. Verse 15 and 17. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? When the men who had the evil spirits jumped on them and overpowered them all, he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. That's what happens when you try to do things your own way. You kind of get beaten up. And God comes in, and he pulls you back, and he says, hold on a minute. Your life is not about you. Your life is not about the power that you think you have created for yourself. Your life is about what I do in you and what you will experience through me. These men, these brothers, they wanted to overshadow Paul and show off for their own power. But instead, these men actually did something good. They demonstrated the power of the name of Jesus. Even though that's not what they intended to do. If your faith is real, if you are not just faking it and giving in to fleshly resistance, if you live under the authority of the name of Jesus, there is no demonic force that will come against you, and God's power will be evident in your life. But you have to be willing to let go so that God can come in. You have to be willing to let him take over, so that he has complete power. Finally, number three. This is a big one because I think this is probably the biggest thing that we deal with in life today, and that's worldly attachment. I heard this story. Remember Jack Benny? He was kind of before my time, but I remember growing up as a small child, my parents would sometimes, he'd be on some of those variety shows, and he kind of made a habit of being playing the part of a miser, and he told of a time when he was held up. The robber came up to him and put a gun in his back and said, your money or your life? Jack Benny didn't say anything. He just stood there with his hands in the air. Finally, the robber said again, "Your money or your life?" And Jack Benny just said, "I'm thinking. I'm thinking." Have you ever known someone like that? Someone who's so attached to their stuff and that their stuff becomes what they live for. I ask you this morning, have you ever felt the tug of materialism in your life? You know, the old saying, what you spend your life doing is your God, right? So if you spend 5 minutes a day with God in prayer and devotion, but the rest of the day you spend on trying to make money or trying to make yourself look good and more powerful and wanting to be in control and power, that becomes your God, because that's more important. That's more important to you than living for God. Now, you go to work in the morning, yes, you're trying to make money, you're trying to pay your bills, right? But if you do it with God in your heart, and if you treat people with respect as you're doing it, then the power of God is living in you, and you are working for God. The victory that God won became a turning point for many of the people in Ephesus, and it's the turning point for us. In verses 18 and 19, it says, "Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And when they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas." These people had such a real experience with God, such a powerful presence in their lives, that they were willing to take what was their livelihood. They were able to take their power, their prominence, their place in society at that time, and they were willing to throw them into the fire. See, what happens, I think, is that we become so engrossed in pursuing a life of comfort and pleasure and wealth, just like the culture tells us we should, that we become cold and callous to what God may be wanting to do with us. But boy, we like our stuff. We like our stuff. And I think if we all kind of took a look at our stuff, and I'm not just talking about material possessions, that's mainly it, but if we just take a look at our stuff, the things that we hold on to, pride, ego, the desire to be powerful, in control. You know, if we just threw them into the fire pit, I think we'd have quite a bonfire going on. Just as he did with the Ephesians, the Holy Spirit searched out and exposed our obsession with our stuff. And if we will only yield our fixation on our stuff to him, he will overcome our reliance on it. And you know what? We will then experience the power of God in a new and extraordinary way. I got to thinking about this section. It says the worth of the books the people burned was 50,000 drachmas. Now, how much is that worth? Well, let me put it into perspective. One drachma was worth a day's wages. That's a personal sacrifice right there. And I got to thinking about it. If we were to think about it in today's terms, what would be the equivalent of that? Well, what I read from studies that I found out, it would be the equivalent of about $5 million. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have $5 million in gifts, in stuff, or even in the bank to throw away. Would we do that? Because of their personal sacrifice, look what happened. Because of our personal sacrifices, look what has happened in the church. Verse 20 says, "In this way the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power." We can overcome the forces of that are attached to worldly things. We can overcome that when we're willing to make a personal sacrifice that is necessary for God to change our lives. My question, though, is, are we willing to do that? Do we want God to change our lives? Do we want to experience His power daily? Are we willing to sacrifice our love for things, our love for power, our pride, so that we can experience the power of God? Just to wrap this up, there are two ways to allow God more room in your life. One is to remember that the hardening of your heart happens slowly and silently. I have a feeling, as I thought about that these last couple of days, I have a hardened heart just like all of us do at certain moments in our lives. There are certain things in our lives that we just have a hard heart for. And when someone tries to tell us something and we don't agree with them, we just lash out because we have a hard heart about certain things. I believe my hard heart started off when I was just a teenager. And the experience that I had as a life, in life. And it's probably the same thing with you. Maybe it was things taught by our parents or things we saw in our parents that created these little moments in our life that created these hard hearts. So slowly and silently it started to happen to the point now where our hearts have become hardened to certain things. So what is the other answer? We need to become more receptive to God's power by being open to change. Again, stepping out of our comfort zone. How many of us can safely say, that's me. I'm willing to do that. Not to a certain extent, not to a point, because I want to hold on to some of that. No, you have to get rid of it. You have to get rid of it, because you can't experience truly the power of God completely unless you get out of the way. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8 says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So let's not harden our hearts. Let's soften our hearts. Let's allow God to have complete access, because God has the power to change our lives. I'm praying for that for myself, because there's a lot of things in my life I'm realizing I need to change. How about you? How about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, boy, you know, it's a hard message to bring, because we don't like change. We don't like to do things differently. We don't like to step out of our comfort zone because, you know, it's just not something we like. And we like to be the one in charge and we like to be the powerful one. But that doesn't always happen. And it shouldn't be. We should trust in other people. We should respect other people's opinions. We should be able to care for other people with compassion and sensitivity so that we all can experience it together. That your love for us is what we need. We don't need to be powerful. We don't need to be in control. We don't need any of that. We just need you. We need to make room for you today. And that's my prayer for all of us, that we make room for you today. I just pray this in your name and in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.